Guys, how many of you heard about the revival in Cambodia? Okay, maybe 20%. So I want to tell you the story of Cambodia. I want to tell you what God has been doing there in the last year. And then I will make an altar call at the end, but you can come to the front early if you want to. But the goal of tonight, and that's what I believe what God is about to do, is impart. Everybody say impart. Impart a burden. Impart, you're laughing, brother. God bless you, man. Impart a burden for the Great Commission. Amen? Everybody say amen. Amen. You guys know there is nothing more important than the Great Commission. Amen? You know what? Let's go to the Bible. Matthew 28, verse 20, 19 and 20. If you have your Bible, open up there. Oh, thank you for this. Come on, thank you, Lord. Someone bless this woman. Thank you, Jesus, that you are baptizing her with financial overflow in Jesus' name. You get more than one property. Amen. Man, you get 100 or something. I don't know. Guys, I love this. All right, Matthew. Guys, teaching is very holy. You can receive a lot in teaching. These manifestations are wonderful. They change our lives. But how many of you know you can get changed just as much by hearing a biblical teaching and a word of faith? Amen? Amen? Okay. So Matthew 28, 18, verse 20. We read that today already, actually. When you're there, say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Karababashakaragaradi. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words. That's what it means. This is amplified, guys. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And yo, I am with you always. In cages, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and every occasion, even to the end of age. Amen?
Amen.
This Bible verse is probably the most famous Bible verse that people quote when it comes to the Great Commission. But how many of you know that? I hope you guys know what the Great Commission is. I hope you know. 70% of Christianity and of Christians don't know what the Great Commission is today. If you would ask 70%, they could not tell you what it is. I hope you guys know. Because you guys are Maranatha, right? It means come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. How many of you know what is required that Jesus comes back? How many of you know? Yeah? Brother, you tell me.
Until all I've heard.
What else? Good. What else? That's why I'm here tonight. What else? Huh? Huh? Spotless bride, in a sense, yes. Absolutely. What else? Hey, discipling all nations. We just read that, right? Good job. What else? Yeah. A heart of repentance. I think, yes, that is very true. But pretty much, you guys all together said the right thing. Everyone needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everybody has to become a disciple or the opportunity to become a disciple of Jesus. That is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. That's what Christianity is working for. That's what we are doing at Great Harvest. And that's what all of you guys should be doing as Christians. You know, I think this church here especially, you guys don't have an issue with the first love, I think. I think you love Jesus very much. I don't think I've ever had worship like this in Europe. I'm pretty much stunned. I'm a bit blown away. This is awesome. But what you guys need to do, or I mean, the danger that you guys might fall into is that you only worship Jesus. You're always adoring him. You're pouring out your alabaster oil. You're doing all that stuff, which is wonderful, beautiful. You got to keep doing it. But there is a Great Commission. Amen? Your love for Christ is supposed to get you out of these four walls into Munich, into Germany, into Europe, into Asia, into Africa, into the ends of the earth to preach the love of Jesus to those who have not heard it yet. Amen? So if you as Maranatha, you cannot worship Jesus back, it's not going to happen. You cannot worship him back. You have to go and proclaim the good news. Amen? Amen. So let's stick with me. Now, let us go. I want to tell you one more. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Once you're there, say amen. Come on. This is another good one. Acts 1, verse 8. Are you there? But you will receive power and ability when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Everybody say power.
Power.
And you will be my witnesses. Say witnesses. To tell people about me, both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Say ends of the earth. Praise God. Guys, why do you have the Holy Spirit? Come on, to be witnesses. The primary thing why God gives the Holy Ghost is that you have power to be a witness of Christ. So what does that mean? To be a witness means you're living a Christ-like life in every life circumstance, and you're proclaiming the good news of Jesus to everyone, everywhere, at any time. And you have the power to do it. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit is for, primarily. Of course, you have intimacy. Of course, you have relationship with God. You have wonderful worship time. I love that too. We need that. But if you're afraid to go out there and be an open-air preacher in Munich, or you're afraid to, proclaim the gospel to your boss or to the guy you work at or your employee, or maybe you're an employer, if you have fear in this area, brother, you need power. You need power to be a witness of Christ. That's why we have these encounters. Amen?
Amen?
Guys, I want to tell you about Cambodia. Then we get some more scriptures. But this revival really was very, it was very unprecedented. It was very unplanned. So we were in Ethiopia. Nate was there actually too. And I was a crusade director for Christ for All Nations. How many of you know Christ for All Nations, CFAN? Yeah, this church knows CFAN, right? Amen. So we were in Ethiopia for about 6 months. We've been working every day, 6 days a day, 18 hours a week. We were organizing these crusades, these huge crusades that you see on YouTube. Yeah, I was in Dila. And we had two of these crusades. Actually, the second crusade was with David Rotemo. You guys know David Rotemo? Amen. So we had one crusade with Daniel Kalenda, one with David, and we were proclaiming the gospel to probably 100,000 people on those two crusades. So it was half a year of work, of labor, of organizing. We organized 1,162 churches came together for these crusades. And I fly with Kent. I drive with Kent to Addis Ababa after half a year. And there was this police guy. And I'm driving to the airport because I want to catch my flight because I was really tired. And I really wanted to go back to Switzerland. Because Switzerland is heaven on earth. Amen? It's the most beautiful place ever. I'm a real patriot. But we were driving, and this police guy, he comes to the road. He pulls his gun, and he points it straight at my head. And I have to smash my brakes. And I smash my brakes, and my car stops like a meter in front of this police officer. And he comes with the gun and he points it at my head. And I'm like, what is happening, man? Because in Ethiopia, they shoot people while they drive if they think they're a criminal, actually. They shoot bus drivers and stuff like this. So I talked to this guy for like 15 minutes. We have an argument. I put my hands on his shoulder. I said, my brother, it's okay. I'm a Swiss man. I come here to preach the word of God. It's okay. You don't have to arrest me. You don't have to shoot me. Well, he actually, amen. He actually didn't shoot me, praise God. But what he did, he took my car away. So he confiscated my car in Addis Ababa. And you know, Addis Ababa is like 5-6 million people city. So if you don't have a car, it's going to be very, very difficult. So he took it away, and I'm so frustrated. I'm so like, gosh, I don't want this to happen. Like, I want to fly home to Switzerland, eat some Swiss cheese, get some fondue, get some raclette, and sleep for like 3 weeks. That was my plan. So I booked this hotel room, and I turn on the shower, and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes into the hotel room very strongly. Guys, I was so done. Maybe you know this. I was so done. I literally said, Holy Spirit, I know you're here. I don't want to talk to you. Like, leave. Like, please go back to heaven or somewhere. I don't want to talk to you. I'm so tired. The Holy Spirit leaves. 5 minutes later, he comes back a second time. The presence of God fills the room one more time. And I recognize him. I say, Holy Spirit, I don't want to talk right now. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Please leave. Holy Spirit leaves again. He comes back a third time. This time, I'm in the shower. How many of you know shower encounters with God? Oh, yes. It's the holy place, man. The toilet, too. The third time, the Holy Spirit is so strong. Like, he was literally like a physical person in the room. I could not ignore the Holy Ghost anymore. So I said, all right, Holy Spirit, apparently you want to tell me something. Please speak. What happened is that I enter into a vision. I mean, if you know Matrix, I felt like the codes coming down. It felt like the codes, like in Matrix, is coming into my soul. Like, that's how I felt for about 3 hours. And the Holy Spirit told me, Dario, I want you to go to Cambodia. I didn't know that nation even exists at that time. I'd never heard of it. Go to Cambodia and start a holistic revival movement. Holistic. I said, Lord, what do you mean with holistic? He said, combine mass gospel crusades with church planting. Put both into one. Preach the gospel, make disciples. Amen? Amen. So now we have Matthew 28, and we have Acts number 1 and 8. Gospel, disciples, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit to be a witness. Amen? Amen? It's not over yet. 2 months later, I flew to Cambodia for the first time. I look it up on the maps. I don't know a single person in the whole nation. I know anyone. I'm just obedient. I'm going. I have no clue what I'm about to do. Praise God, I got a visa. Amen. I just fly there. I go to Phnom Penh, and then a friend reaches out and says, hey, I saw you go to Cambodia. You got to reach out to this person, Pastor Chandra. So I meet with Pastor Chandra in a coffee spot. And it turns out this pastor is one of the national leaders for all of Christianity of Cambodia. There's like a national board. And he's literally the right-hand man of the chairman of the alliance. Amen? So I tell him, hey, so we want to preach the gospel. And I was trained by CFAN. And we had an encounter with God, and we really want to bring the gospel to the unreached people of Cambodia. And you know what he said? He said, I know you CFAN guys. I know you. I don't like you. I don't like you. We don't want you in our country because you mess up our nation. Because there was one guy who went before, and he did great trouble. Like, he preached in schools without a permission, and he went all the way up to the highest government, and they almost shut down entire offices and ministries in Cambodia. A great start. Right? I'm like, yes, national leader, thank you so much. I love you too. I talked to him. I repent in this other guy's name. And he says, okay, I will travel with you for 2 weeks. We travel around the country. We go to Siem Reap. We go to Kampot. We go to Kandal. We go to Takeo. All these places. These are provinces. And I meet people. I meet pastors. And pretty much the whole thing is a test. Like, we want to find out if this Dario guy is legit. Can we trust him or not? And we go to Takeo, where we met Pastor Rata. And Pastor Rata, so Cambodia is a third world country. You know what this guy did? He's a legend. He ordered like 20 lobsters. And he prepared a banquet for us to come. When he heard we were coming, he invited all the provincial leaders in the area, or like 20 big, big guys, to come and eat with us and welcome us. I was like, okay, wow. Like what Emmanuel said, if you honor the man of God, you can receive him, right? So I was like, okay, we're starting with this guy. We're going to start with Pastor Rata. I talked to him about the vision. He said, I'm all for it. Let's do it. 3 months later, we're in Cambodia. We bring a lot of people like Andrea, Matthias, Nate. We brought over 200 evangelists to Cambodia. We started to find out, how can we preach the gospel here? How can we plant church? I had never planted a church, man. Like, how do you even plant a church? I have no clue. Like, I didn't know. But we bring all these people in. We start preaching the gospel in schools. We start preaching the gospel in villages. We start making contracts with the entire Evangelical Alliance of Cambodia. That's like 42 denominations. We all meet. We sign. We're like, okay, we're going for revival. We are all committing to see 10% of Cambodia saved by 2033. That's the agreement we made. And in exchange for our commitment to Cambodia, they are going to open the doors with the government. They're going to open the doors with the politicians, with the governors and all these kind of things. And they're going to, with the police, and they're going to get us permits for crusades. And Cambodia is not a nation that has crusades, man. Like, you cannot just do a public event in a Buddhist nation that's unreached with a different religion. It's not just a thing you can do. You need, like, high-level up insiders to do that. So we had that. So we're going for our first crusade in Takeo. Takeo is like the Khmer Kingdom was founded in Takeo. You guys, the Khmer Kingdom is one of the largest kingdoms the world has ever seen. It ruled Asia for over 2,000 years. That happened in Takeo, where we had our very first crusade. So we are organizing a crusade. I'm there for 6 months. I teach Rata and his people everything I learned from CFAN in Africa, how to do these massive gatherings, how to organize it, how to bring unity into the churches. We had about 200 churches in the whole province, maybe 2,000 Christians in a province that has a population of over 1 million people. It's like nothing. It's like 0.01% Christian. Like, it's nothing, right? We bring them together. We train them. We organize the crusade. And then 1 week before the crusade, Pastor Rata, he calls me. He's like, oh, Dario, I'm so sorry. I'm like, Pastor Rata, what happened? What is it? He's like, the governor just called us, the provincial governor. He said, the provincial governor is a radical Buddhist. His parents worship trees. They worship idols. They literally pray to a bush and say, this is God. And they heard, they gave us the permit. And now 1 week before the crusade, the very first crusade to ever happen in this place, we're going to take the permit away. And you're not going to do your crusade. And you're not going to preach the gospel. And I drive to Rata. I drive to his home. He lives in the jungle. We kneel down like this. And we just start praying. And we started crying out to God. And we were like, we are going to do this crusade. We're going to reach these people that are unreached. And we prayed for like 2-3 hours. Mosquitoes are biting us. But we didn't really care. We pray. How many of you know that God is the God of the impossible? Amen. Amen. We did not get the permit back, guys. We didn't, but we found a solution. You know what we did? I called Reverend John Darku. You know Reverend John Darku? Yeah? He was the crusade director of Reinhard Bonnke. He did all these huge crusades. That was him. He's Ghanaian. So we're friends. I call him. I say, Reverend John, we have been praying. We have been working. We've done everything exactly like you told me to do it. And now we don't get the permit back. What should we do? How can we reach Cambodia? And he's Ghanaian. So he speaks a little different. And he said, oh, Dario, yes, Cambodia is truly a virgin land. It's really a virgin land, which means unreached. And he said, why do you try to talk to the governor? He's a small boy. The governor is a small boy. You are a big man. you need to talk to the big man of Cambodia. I was like, Reverend John, what do you mean? What do you mean? And he starts laughing. He's like, ha, 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 ha. You need to call the president. Call the president of Cambodia. Why do you bother about the small boy, small governor? Call the president. And I'm like, okay, Reverend John, I don't have his number. I don't know how to call a president of a nation, but we will do it, amen? He said, amen, you will do it, you will go ahead. I called Chandara and tell him, hey, we got to call the president, man, because we got to make this crusade happen in Cambodia. And Brother Chandara is like, okay, well, we might be able to do that, but let me talk. So he talks to another guy who, his name is His Excellency Sopeak. He's the Secretary of Religion and Cults for Cambodia. So he's pretty much one under the president in this department. We call him. He's like, oh, okay, let me see what I can do. He comes to our city. We meet with the governor, and the governor is still angry at us. He still did still not allow that crusade to happen, even though we could overrule him. Like, His Excellency is more powerful. He could just snap his finger, we'll do it, no matter what you say. But then the governor would persecute the Christians after the crusade, right? So we're not going to do that, because we're not there for a nice video to raise more funds in other churches after we come back. We're there to build the kingdom of God. Amen? So we said, okay, we're not going to do that. But what we did is we said, okay, we spoke to another governor on the other side, on another province in Kampong Spu, which borders to Takeo. And we were like, we're going to bus the people from Takeo to Kampong Spu, which is like 50 minutes next to Takeo, and we're going to hold our crusade there. And His Excellency gave us the permit from the beginning, from the very top, to do that crusade. Amen? Guys, if you don't know how to do crusades, it's almost impossible to move a crusade to another location in 1 week. That is a thing of, like, you need to work 6 months to get a crusade happen, a good one. Now we have 1 week. We have 1 week. And we start praying, but at least we have something, right? At least we have a little bit that we can do. So me and Rata, we're really putting our heads down. We are working 24/7 for a whole week. My evangelists are calling. They're like, they're not happy with the situation. Like, why did this happen? Ba da ba da ba. But we went for it, guys. And we had our very first flagship crusade in Tram Knar, where Nate was preaching to. And for the first time ever, we proclaimed the gospel to an unreached people group in Cambodia that never heard the name of Jesus ever before. Hallelujah. My friends, we preached to 6,000 people. 6,000 people came to that crusade. 3,000 got saved, guys. 3,000 in a province that only has 2,000 Christians. A whole province. In one event, Christianity doubled. Doubled. It doubled, guys. In 3 days or 4 days. And we were like, oh my gosh. What's happening here? Nobody thought crusades like this are possible in Cambodia. Because why should these people come hear the gospel? Why should they be attracted to that? But guys, Maranatha, I want to tell you 50 Maranathas or whatever is going to happen. I want to tell you, God is the God of the impossible. If you are obedient and if you never give up, God will open the doors for you. God will open the doors for your breakthrough, for your calling, for your ministry. Come on, I'm not preaching. God will open the doors for you in your circumstances. He will make the impossible possible. He will open doors that no one else can shut. And He will shut all the doors that no one can open. Amen? Amen? Guys, God will fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetimes together with all of us. There is no Buddhist regime, no Buddhist communist nation that can shut the gospel. China cannot stop the gospel. The Islam Brotherhood cannot stop the gospel in the Middle East. Amen? If we preach like this in America, people stand up and clap. Come on. Brother, where are you from? Huh?
Indonesia.
Rather, Indonesia, we are working in Indonesia too. Right now, the Muslims, they try to take over Papua. I don't know if you know that. Papua New Guinea. So the Islam guys, they're funding Islamization in Papua, which is the Christian hotspot of your nation. And right now, we are training the Christian believers down there to rise up against that Islamic push, brother. So your nation is in revival, my friend. Your nation will turn to a Christian nation within the next few decades. And I hope you're going to be part of it. Amen. Come on. Come on. Are you excited? So we have our first crusade. And it makes national news. It's literally on live TV. We got it live TV in like one event. We're like, what the heck is happening? So what are we going to do? We spend all our money. We spend half a year of our lives. Obrata was like, well, let's just do another one. Amen? Let's just make a second crusade. So we go. Where did we go? Kampot. Kampong Spu. We went to Kampong Spu, another province. We do another crusade. Matthias and Andrea are coming again. 200 evangelists are coming again. We preach in the schools to thousands. We preach in the villages to hundreds of villages. We do another big crusade, but this time we got the permit from the beginning. Just the crusade was more expensive. 100,000 grand for a crusade, which was a level we hadn't reached before that. Like, we didn't thought that's possible. So we do it. It was amazing. And what are we going to do next? Hey, who said that? A third. Amen. Come on. We did a third in Kampot. Nate was preaching there too. So we reached another province with the gospel. We got the permit from the very beginning. The money came in again. What do we do next? A fourth. We did a fourth in Kandal. We just did that this Easter. Over Easter. It was the largest crusade that I think we've ever done. We had over 20,000 people. No, we had 15,000 people come to that crusade, hearing the gospel for the first time in a province with 2,000 believers. But we're not talking about a city. We talk ein Bundesland. Stell dir vor, alles von Bayern hat 2,000 Christen. Wir machen eine Reviving the World Crusade hier mit David Rothermel. Du hast 2,000 Christen und du hast 20 oder 15,000 Leute in der Crusade. Amen? Receive it. That's, yes, yeah, yeah. That's the circumstance in Cambodia. On top, it's the very first time it ever happens. The very first time. In 2,000 years since the cross, this has never happened. So what we do next? We did a fifth. We did a fifth crusade in Cap province. So this was the last crusade we did, and I want to tell you briefly about it, because Kep is one of the most unreached places in Cambodia. So there's unreached, and then there's unengaged. How many of you know unengaged? That's good for you. Yeah, you know. Okay, Maranatha Church, if you want Jesus to come back, it's good for you to know these terms. Unreached means everything, a population below 2% Christian, and no access to the gospel. That's a nation we call unreached. If you go to a nation that's unengaged, it means there is no one. Zero. Zero. Like nothing. Nada, niente. And no access to the gospel. Cap was unengaged. There was no gospel presence, no Christian presence whatsoever. So we were like, can we even do a crusade here if you don't have Christians, right? Is it even possible? So we tried. We went in faith. And we said, let's do it. So we're bussing in churches from the neighboring provinces into Kep. So we bring those Christians, those people, and we promote the event. This was actually a month, 2 months ago. That happened 2 months ago, where we said, we don't know what's going to happen. People are probably not going to show up. God did it again. He did it again. We had 12,000 people. 12,000 people. In a place that never, ever, ever heard the name of Jesus Christ. We had 3,000 documented decisions for Jesus. In a place with zero Christians. Where do you read that? What is it? Acts 2. 3,000 were added to the church. Guys, the book of Acts is still alive today. Amen. What God did in the past, He's still doing today. It's not just the apostles with a special anointing. It's not just these men of God of the past where God can do this. It's happening today. And I don't want you to miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss the greatest revival in world history happening all over the world right now. And we planted 18 churches in Kep with these three. Yeah. Come on, Ines. Yeah. Yeah. 18 churches. So this revival has been happening over 1.5 years, almost 1.5 years. We did all of that. We reached 10% of the whole nation for the first time ever with the gospel. About 4% of the nation made a documented decision to follow Jesus, and we've planted around 600 churches. Amen? Come on. Amen. Amen. And we raised up 1,000 indigenous evangelists and church planters that we fund so they can do this work. Amen, brother. Guys, I think it's time for more Bible. Amen? But that's the Cambodia revival. And I hope, guys, by the way, you can come. You can join. We're going again in November. Because what we do after the fifth crusade? Sixth. Amen. November 17 to December 13, we're back in Cambodia. You're so welcome. We talked about this, but we can talk more about this. But if you want to see the revival firsthand with your own eyes, just come. Okay? Be part of the Great Commission. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Mark 16, verse 15. Once you're there, say amen. Come on, you're faster than I am. It's good. Good church. Amen. Verse 15. So in Matthew 28, we have make disciples of all nations, right? Actually, the word nations, Emmanuel, you can check that. The word nations is actually a wrong translation. The Greek word is ethnos, which actually more precisely means people group. So when we think of nations, people say, okay, so now we preach the gospel in Cambodia, we reach 10%, that nation is done. No, that's not what the Bible says. It means ethnos, which means people groups. How many of you know there are many people groups in one nation?
Yeah? God wants every people group.
And now we read here in 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Amen. So we have nations, but in reality, we have people groups. And now we have all creation, which means every single person. Amen. God wants every single person to hear the gospel. I know that's very simple preaching. This is not the first time you hear this, but we don't act like we know this. Christians don't act out like every person should hear the gospel. People in Europe, especially Europe, are not preaching the gospel in the streets. They're afraid of their employees. They're afraid of their family members. They're not preaching it because they're somewhat afraid. The Bible says all creation. Amen? But now go to the next one because now it's getting good. Go to Matthew 24, verse 13.
Say amen when you're there. I'm getting somewhere, trust me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It says, this good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, ethnos, and then the end will come. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the end will come. This is a promise. guys, this is a promise. It means that the Great Commission will be fulfilled. It means that all of Cambodia will hear the gospel. It means that all of Germany will hear the gospel. From you Germans, I often hear like the youth has never heard the gospel. That's why like the new generation here has never heard. Guys, you have a promise, it's going to happen. I think you need 500 Maranatha churches. It's literally going to happen. Indonesia will hear the gospel. All of Indonesia will hear it. Cameroon will be saved in Jesus' name. Amen? How about China? Hey? We're going to China. How about India? Can India hear the gospel? Okay. What about Syria? Syria. What about Morocco? Yeah? What about Yemen? Guys, there is no place too hard to reach. It does not exist. North Africa, the Middle East, I don't care how common, North Korea, let's go North Korea. Betty, you told me about this. People are going to North Korea next year. Amen? There is no place too hard to reach for the gospel. There is no one that can shut this door because my Bible tells me that the gospel will be preached to every nation and then the end will come. Amen. It's a promise. So don't live your life like you don't have this promise. And now comes my favorite Bible verse. This is, by the way, all talking about the Great Commission. All of this is the Great Commission. Now comes my favorite one. Go to Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. All right, listen carefully, okay? This is more your style. After these things I looked, and this is what I saw, a vast multitude which no one could count. Imagine, the Bible says no one can count it. I am able to count huge crowds. Many people are able to count huge crowds. This crowd, no one can count. Gathered from every nation, ethnos, every people group, and from all the tribes and people and languages of the earth, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, Christ, dressed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and in a loud voice they cried out, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on that throne and to the Lamb. Our salvation is the Trinity's to give, and to God, the Trinity, we owe our deliverance. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the 24 elders and the four living creatures, and they fell to their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, amen, blessing and glory and majesty and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. This is the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And it's not just Maranatha Church in Munich with 200 people. It is every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every ethnos in white robes, worshiping Jesus, having their face on the floor, giving him thanks and praise and glory and honor and might and power. Say amen. Amen. If you love Jesus, this gets you excited. If you're not excited, you have a problem, man. You better repent tonight. So, we have a great commission. We have to do it to every nation, every creature, every single person. Then we have a promise that then Maranatha will happen once we've done it. And then we have a promise how it's going to be once the Great Commission is fulfilled. Praise God. I feel like preaching. Do you like my preaching? You love it? Come on. So, for God so loved the world that he, what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So if you are here kneeling on the floor and you are looking at Jesus weeping and worshiping him, that means you hopefully love him, right? We're not performance here. You love him. Well, if you love him, you want to give him what he loves. Right? How many of you love Jesus? I love Jesus. You know, I'm Swiss, man. By the way, before I became a missionary, I was really rich. I was ultra wealthy. Like, I was like, my net worth for my age was like the top 0.00000001% of the whole world before I became a missionary. But you know what? And it's Switzerland, guys. We have the best cheese, the best food, we have the best government, we have the mountains. It's heaven on earth. Switzerland is heaven on earth. Garden Eden is Switzerland. Amen? And you know what? I'm not telling you to tell you that I'm so great. I'm telling you it all faded away. Once I encountered Jesus in a more profound way and my heart discovered what his heart loves, which is the world, the earth, which is everybody, every human being. Once I discovered that's what he really wants and that's what the Father really wants, I gave it away. And I became a missionary. I became an evangelist. I started going to the nations. I started preaching that gospel. I started planting churches. Because these encounters here on the floor led me to the harvest field. And you know, Jesus is also the Lord of the harvest. Amen? Amen. Is Jesus the Lord of the harvest? Amen. And what did he tell us to pray for?
Laborers.
Yeah, you study that thing, right? That's good. He said, pray for more laborers to go to the harvest field and reap that harvest. So guys, please, when you are Maranatha, and you have this wonderful, sweet presence of God that the world yearns for, please make sure you take it out into the world. Amen. Please make sure you go to the ends of the earth. Please make sure you're preaching that gospel. Encounter the Lord of the harvest. It's a new face, a new facet of Jesus that maybe you have not known yet because you haven't gone to the harvest field yet. But you should. You really should. I think the craziest encounters I personally ever had with the Lord were in the harvest fields. We're always on the mission field. When you feel the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the only thing that can truly satisfy you. Amen. But when you see his lost sons and daughters coming for the first time back to him, and you are connected with your heart with the Lord, as it happens, you feel his joy in your heart for this harvest. That's a joy you cannot comprehend. That's a part of Jesus that you don't get to know until you experience it. That drives you. That's that pull that many of you guys feel that want to go to be long-term missionaries. That pull in your heart that literally, it takes you. You can barely resist it. Is the love of Christ in you yearning for the lost souls, sons and daughters in the ends of the earth. Amen? Praise God. I want to tell another story. How many of you know Abraham Lincoln? He was the president of the United States. He's legendary because he stopped slavery for the black slaves in America. So here's what he did. He wrote a new law. He wrote it down, and he said, in this new law, I'm going to declare a decree that every slave has to be set free from their slave lord immediately. They can no longer be raped. They can no longer be tortured. They can no longer be owned and used. They have to be free from this moment on. Amen? So he wrote it down. He put his signature on it. He put his stamp on it, and he gave it to 12 people. These were ambassadors. And he told them, you guys take this law, you go into every village of America, you go to every city, every major place, you're going to rally the people to hear the announcement, and you're going to tell them the new law, that they have to release the slaves. Guys, it took them 2 years to declare that new law. 2 long years. So even though Abraham Lincoln declared this law, it took 2 years, two more years of these slaves that lived in bondage, that lived in slavery, that lived in all these kind of stuff. 2 years after everyone was released. Do you think they did a bad job? It needs 2 years for them to be free. Do you think they did a bad job? Like the ambassadors? Yeah? Or you think they did a good job? Nate is the only one who answers me. You think they did a bad job? Yeah, I think so too. Well, guess what? Christianity took 2,000 years. 2,000 years to tell the world that they are free from sin and bondage and darkness. 2,000 years until the cross, until today. Today, 3.5 billion people are still considered unreached, have never heard the gospel, never once. Every day, 70,000 people die in the 1040 window, going into eternal damnation, never hearing his name a single time. Because no one is going, no one is telling them. 2,000 years. So, that's horrible. That's the biggest, and I'm sorry to bring bad news, but that's the biggest tragedy in world history and church history. That it took us this long. Because the Bible says God desires everyone to be saved. Amen? You know that Bible verse? Everyone to be saved. So that means God's will is not being done. God's will does not, this is so common, people think God's will happens. No, it doesn't. God's will is often, very often, not happening. Because we, as Christians, are supposed to play our role in the Great Commission, but we're not doing it, or not doing it enough, right? This is why it took 2,000 years to get to this point. So, what can we do? What's the cause now? And that's why I came here to Maranatha, to bring that message. So you say, Dario, okay, yes, this is a tragedy, this is bad, what can we do? Well, guys, there is a way to fulfill the Great Commission. And there is a way to fulfill it in our lifetimes. Technically, strategically, there is a way. It's very possible. So if you want Maranatha in your lifetimes, let's fulfill the Great Commission together first. Yes. Amen. Amen? So how do we do this? Here's what we do. We go into a nation like Cambodia. We train indigenous evangelists, locals, how to preach the gospel, how to plant churches. We use the money of the West to fund them so they're empowered and they become the greatest evangelists and church planters in their own nation. It is 30 times more effective than any Westerner missionary. It is more cost effective. They plant more churches. They preach the gospel in the heart language. They translate the Bibles into their own language and distribute it. They cannot be deported. They can only be imprisoned, but they get out again sometimes. They can be killed, but if they're getting killed, the revival just breaks out. The blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. Amen? And they are taking over these nations right now for Jesus. Guys, the revival in Cambodia is so that God is doing, not me. God has become so huge and so big that the neighboring nations reached out to us. The national leader of Vietnam, the national leader of Thailand, the national leader of Laos, the national leader of Bangladesh, the leaders of China, of Indonesia, of Myanmar. They are all calling us right now, say, this revival has never happened in Cambodia or anywhere in Asia. Would you please come to our nation and train us and bring the same revival to all these unreached nations? Amen. Amen. Amen, brother. So what we said, so I said, yes, we will do it. I said, yes, in faith, we will come. But how are we going to do it? They said, you come. So I talk on the phone with Laos, national leader. He's Pastor David. I traveled there in February. He's the leader of the double underground church. It's double. Why is it double? Because the government persecutes them. They kill them. They're martyrs in Laos. They torture them. It's horrible. But then also there's a state church. And that state church is corrupt. So they are looking for the underground churches to expose them to the government so they get imprisoned and killed. That's Laos. So they choke a buy and they say it's double underground, not just underground, double. So I meet with him. He's on a bicycle. He drove 2 hours on a bicycle to meet with us. And we meet him. I tell him, okay, this is how we did in Cambodia. We raised up these indigenous people, evangelists, church planters. We found them. He said, I've never heard of anything like this. He said, I'm 40 years in ministry. Not ever once has a ministry come and done this in our nation. Not once. I know why, but that's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. I said, okay. He said, would you be willing to do this in Laos? I said, of course. I don't even have to pray about it. We'll do the same here. He said, I'm going to call 15 leaders of every single province of Laos. There are 18 provinces. We're going to bring them to Vientiane, to the capital city, and you will train them in evangelism, church planting, and then we will fund them, and we will start a nationwide revival in all of Laos happening at the same time, like in Cambodia. And he said Christianity will double in 1 year nationwide if we come and do this. Amen? Amen? So I said, how? Like, how? So he's like, do you have $30,000? I said, no. I don't. Well, that's the cost of transporting these people into the capital city to be trained. I said, okay, we'll do it in faith. And now, my friends, we have received quite a lot of funding. We received, I'm not going to say how much, but we received quite some money. And we told them in faith, we have like half the money now. We told them in faith, we're coming, this is happening in the first week of August, 2 weeks from now. We will come to Laos. This training will happen. The funding will come because God will provide. And we will start this revival all over Laos. Amen? Amen. And guys, my heart burns for Laos. It burns. At the same time, we're going to Bangladesh. We do the same thing in Bangladesh with 500 leaders. We do the same thing in China with 120. We do the same thing in Vietnam. I've already done with 1,000 people in Vietnam. We're going again. So this is a way, a very effective approach to fulfill the Great Commission in our lifetimes. So Maranatha Church, what I'm telling you, this might be a little bit heavy. I hope I'm not too heavy for you guys. But how can you be a part of this? There are three things you can do. Everybody say three things. Number one, you can go yourself. You can go to these nations and fulfill the Great Commission by yourself. Number two is you can send somebody. You can fund another missionary or a local person to go do the work. Amen? How many of you want to know number three? You can disobey God. Come on. You can disobey God. Guys, this is what you can do. This is the reality of the world today that we are living in. I believe God has called you in this time and hour, right now, for such a time as this. Well, my question to you is, are you going to these nations because you love Jesus and Jesus loves you and Jesus loves them? Or are you funding those people that go? Or are you going to disobey God? And are you, I don't know, you will stand before Christ one day, I will stand before him, and you will answer to Jesus what you did with your life. Is your life worth Christ dying for? Amen? Praise God. Guys, please stand up. Maybe we can get the keys, if someone plays on the keys. I'm going to give an altar call very soon. And I want you to search your own heart. I want you to go deep and really ask yourself, what is your role in the Great Commission? What is your role in it? And do you want to be a part of the Great Commission or not? Or you want to disobey God? The choice is yours. I'm not condemning you, but you need to make that choice. Amen? Some people say, God's will, God's bill. Have you heard that before? I don't believe that. I'm sorry, many of you might hate me because that's a very common thing. But you know, the annual income of the global church is $6 trillion. Crazy, right? $6 trillion every year is an income. We need about $10 billion to fulfill the Great Commission, statistically. Only $10 billion, guys. It's like nothing. For the whole world, that's like nothing. Elon Musk is worth $1.5 trillion. So we don't need that much. If the church would sow 0.005% of their income, the Great Commission would be funded. We have 14,000 times the amount of money yearly that we need to fulfill it. We have 36,000 times the amount of missionaries and Christians to fulfill the Great Commission. God provided a very, very, very long time ago. We have the resources, we have the money, we have the people. We just haven't done it yet. We didn't do it yet. We haven't done it. It took us 2,000 years to get to this point. And you know, 42% of the world still never heard. 42% of the earth has never heard until today. Now please close your eyes. Maranatha Church, I want to ask you, how bad do you really want Maranatha to happen? How much do you really want Jesus to come back, our King, our beautiful King? How much more do you want Him to come? How much do you really love Him? Are you willing to give everything for the Lord? Are you willing to live for the Lord? You know, guys, it's easy to die for Jesus. It's very hard to live for Him. It's very hard to live for Him. And you already are a living martyr, by the way. You're crucified. Your old self has died. You're alive in Christ today. What are you going to do with your life for the Great Commission? What are you doing for Jesus?